In the name of Jesus, our faithful Savior, my dear fellow faithful followers of the faithful God, I'm a guy who, when I'm studying and working in my office or driving in the car or whatever, I like to have background noise. And one of my favorite things to do is to listen to sports talk radio. So a couple of years ago, it was about Valentine's Day time, and I was listening to a sports talk show, which always ended with this little spoof kind of thing that he called Two for the Road. And it was always two just kind of trivia things of stuff he had dug up, kind of fun stuff, funny stuff, unusual stuff that he had dug up from who knows where, and that's how he would end his show each day. So this particular one that stuck with me was about a lawyer. I think the guy was from Cleveland, Ohio, but I'm not exactly sure of that. And this lawyer had a habit that every day on Valentine's Day, he ran this contest. And the contest was open for anybody could enter. And it was, of course, to get free lawyerly advice, as you would anticipate. Always done on Valentine's Day. And, of course, what was the lawyer offering? Free divorces. He would give free divorces to two couples. Yep, Valentine's Day, he did this. And one of those years, he had over 1,000 entries. Wow. For some of us, Valentine's Day is this wonderful time when we have the chance to show love to our loved ones and to receive love back. But for others, Valentine's Day is this very painful day, the reminder of love that hasn't been faithful. And we particularly see that in the marriage bond. When we got married, one of the things that we promised to each other, if you use the traditional wedding vows, and of course sometimes people use different ones, whatever, but the traditional marriage vows, one of the things that is emphasized is, I promise to be faithful to you. That both husband and wife are making a promise to each other that they are going to stick by each other through thick and thin, no matter what comes, no matter what happens. And the reason that's so important is because God compares his love for the church to the love that's between a husband and a wife. How does God love the church? Well, he loves the church with this wonderful, faithful love. Will Jesus ever walk away from you and me? No, never. Will Jesus ever stop loving you and me? No, never. Will Jesus ever stop being here with you and me? No, he's promised to be with us always to the end of the earth. He is always faithful, and he always treats his church with the utmost and faithful love. And so as a husband and a wife stick together, they are mirroring that faithful love of God. By contrast, if a wife or a husband is unfaithful to their spouse, if either the husband or the wife leaves their spouse, for the Christian person to do that is, in a sense, a much worse thing, because we are to be reflecting the faithful love of God. And so for the marriage to split and break up, what that does is it, in a sense, makes God look bad. By contrast, when husband loves his wife the way Christ loved the church, and when wives respect and submit to their husbands as to the Lord, we get this wonderful picture for the world to see of the love of Jesus and how that works. It's sort of God with clothes on, if you will. What an incredible opportunity you and I have to mirror that love of God. And oh, what a mess we often make of it. So, what did you like about David in this text? Good answer. Pretty much nothing. Huh? Now, remember, this isn't just anybody. This is one of the people who's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as being a hero of faith. God describes David as being a man after his own heart. And yet, what did we see David do here in this section? Oh my, commits adultery, tries to cover it up in a variety of ways, brings others into the conspiracy, commits murder, then tries to cover it up some more. Wow. But there's a little detail that I think often gets missed about this whole account. Look at the very first verse. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Raba. But David remained in Jerusalem. Why does God mention that? The only reason that seems to make any sense is that what God is saying to us is David was being unfaithful. That David, being the faithful king, should have been off with his army, with the warriors, fighting the battle. Instead, he was being unfaithful, sticking around in Jerusalem. Now, at first glance, does it seem like such a big deal? Not really. But what if David was off with the army? How much of the rest of 2 Samuel 11 would have happened? None of it! Eh? By being unfaithful in this small thing, David was opening up the door to all kinds of unfaithfulnesses. It opened up the door for him to be unfaithful to Bathsheba, unfaithful to Uriah, unfaithful to his other wives, a whole nother issue that we won't delve into tonight, unfaithful to his people, unfaithful to Uriah, who wasn't just anybody in the army. Uriah is described as one of David's mighty men, so Uriah is one of his best warriors. Unfaithful to Joab because he invites him to come into this conspiracy. Unfaithful to the other soldiers who get put into harm's way needlessly. Unfair to his entire army because David is going to end up murdering one of the best soldiers they have. And ultimately unfaithful to his whole nation. Where did it start? Was something that seemed oh so small. And isn't the warning for us clear? The devil loves to whisper in our ears with these little temptations. If you're a few minutes late for work, what's the big deal? Don't worry about it. If you shave a couple dollars off of your income when you do your taxes, it's the big deal. Everybody else is doing it. Would it hurt so much if you took just a quick peek at that website? Oh, everybody tries to cheat. What if I just tried to get an answer or two from that really smart person who's sitting next to me? Is it such a big deal? You know the whisperings, don't you? I know those whisperings. And the tragic thing is, all too often, we give in to those whisperings. And we're unfaithful. And you know how oftentimes that little unfaithfulness ends up leading to bigger unfaithfulnesses. Oh, by the way, what's at stake? Just our eternal destiny. Heaven and hell. If David hadn't lapsed into unbelief at this point, he was really close. If he had gone to hell, do you think he would have thought that affair was such a great idea?
I don't think so.
And when the devil comes and whispers in our ear with those small temptations, our eternity is just as much at stake. Remember David. And remember how that little small unfaithfulness opened the door to such big ones.
But Pastor, I'm trying, I'm fighting the good fight, I'm trying my best to be faithful. Surely God's happy that I'm trying my best, isn't he?
Nope. God's standards are way higher than that. God isn't happy with an I try hard. God's requirement is, I succeeded perfectly. And there's not a one of us who can say that. Because not a one of us has been perfectly faithful to our boss, to our employees, to our spouse, with our own bodies, with our money, our health. None of us have been perfectly faithful. Which is why it's so incredibly important to understand how salvation works. Salvation is not given to you and me because you and I have been faithful or tried to be. Salvation is given to you and me because you have a God who is faithful no matter what. Did you see the name for God that was used at the end of our text? We're told the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. It's in all capital letters. That's the special Old Testament name for God that reminds us that God is a God of free and faithful grace. That he loves his people with perfect, faithful love. No matter how horribly David had failed, God continued to love him. And no matter how horribly you and I may fail, God will continue to love you. Jesus came to this world and he lived perfectly, faithfully. Oh, he heard the devil's whispers, every single one of them. And he said no to every single one of them. And he faithfully listened to his Father's will, even when it was uncomfortable for him. And off to the cross he went. All to save you. To save me. And God's faithful love didn't end there. No, God continues to come to you and me faithfully. Day after day, he invites you and me to come into his house to worship him. He reminds us of our baptisms by which he's washed us clean. He invites us to his altar to be feasted with his own body and blood. He assures us again and again and again that our sins are forgiven, that he loves us dearly. And do we mess it up? We do! But God never messes it up. Not once. Never. He's faithful. Always. And it's that wonderful, faithful love of God which then inspires and motivates you and me to practice faithful love. It's that faithful love of God which motivates a husband, a wife, to stick with his spouse, her spouse, no matter what. Which inspires the worker, the employee, the employer to be faithful, to serve, to do their best. And when we mess up, we get to go right back to the wonderful, faithful love of Christ and be reminded, I may never be totally faithful. In fact, on this side of eternity, I will never be faithful. Not totally. But my God will always be faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.